Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello, everyone. We have so much to discuss on Daily Pop today, like the wild sex happening off camera on The Bachelor.
Yep.
Is Mr. Big going to get killed off in the new Sex and the City remake? Oh, my goodness. But first, the disturbing rumors that have the internet going crazy. They have to do with the one and only Armie Hammer. Now, Armie was trending on Twitter after some very strange DMs that appear to be from him were leaked. The alleged messages were, which are being shared on social media, include accounts of sexual acts and some fantasies. The messages include things like, I need to drink your blood, and you're my angel, you're made to save me. Now, E has not verified the messages. But here's a little twist, okay? Follow along with this one. The woman who initially posted some of these DMs said they were fake, but then later came back claiming she wasn't the one who said they were fake. It was Armie's fans. And another woman who has been spotted out with Armie in the past tweeted that she thinks the DMs are real. Now, we've reached out to Armie's rep for comment, have not heard back. So what do you guys think is going on? What is real? What is fake?
Oh, my God. That's like that. That's the existential question every day. Like, what's real? What's not real? I think that they are probably real.
Now,
I believe that they're probably real. I have spent very limited time with Armie Hammer, but in the experiences that I have spent with him, I've known him to be nothing but an extremely lovely and charismatic individual. I just can't stand the idea of, like, obviously the messages are a little alarming. They're a little bit out there, or a lot of it out there. You can read them in full in your own time, but it's just so annoying. Like, it's his personal messages. I just don't know why he's, like, typing things out like that and we're, like, just putting them on blast. Like, I don't know. He was married for a long time and maybe he was feeling like he needed to get experimental. One of you can say anything at any point. I'm ready for someone to jump
allegedly,
in.
Allegedly, we need to throw that word in there a few times here because, again, we have not verified that they're real. You know, it just seems odd that the girl who got the claim to fame for posting these, you know, was screenshotted saying they're fake, and then she says, well, that's not really fake. Armie's fans said that they were fake. It's a lot of, listen.
Good for him that happened.
It is very easy to create a Photoshop DM, obviously. We're in 2021. Anyone can do that with an iPhone app. It's not like the most complicated Photoshop process out there.
I mean, it'd be hard for me. I don't know how I would do it. I don't even, if you said please Photoshop a DM, I don't know how I would do that. But yes,
well,
I agree.
But
I agree.
There's a lot of savvy techs out there. Okay,
yeah.
So here's the thing, though. If they're not real, and Armie probably doesn't want people thinking out there that he likes cannibalism. So if he doesn't, then why not say something?
You know what? That's the problem. And that's why I kind of sort of think they're semi-real. And by when I say semi-real,
like some are, but some aren't.
No, what I mean is I think
they're real.
I think what the person did who posted this, if they are real, took out some of the things that she was saying to egg this
always
on. Because nobody just starts out in the blue talking about wanting to suck your blood and eat your flesh. Like, that is like, that's not foreplay. Like, you have to warm up and get to know somebody and get creative
or
with somebody.
Or you've already, like, done something weird with them.
Yes, but it doesn't just, I don't think this guy woke up in the middle of the night and decided to write all these down.
Already
I think they were curated. I think she deleted her parts in it to make him sound and look a little little bit more nasty. Now, what I will say is...
Tell me what you want to eat. Yes. I want to eat your blood.
I am not surprised. I am not surprised at this. The most button-up people are normally the freakiest. That's why things happen at the Republican National Convention, because the most button-up guys end up being the biggest freaks.
Well, amen. Remember, he made headlines a few years ago because he was liking a bunch of tweets about bondage and all these other sexual things.
That was last month.
Justin and I talked to...
it happened a few years ago, too. I think, like, in 2017.
He's not the only person that likes that. People are into different things. Like, and that's okay. You know what I mean? Totally. I mean, obviously, like, I'm not into cannibalism. it's not my personal preference. But, like, am I going to, you know, knock somebody? Probably.
No. Everybody talks a big talk. All of a sudden, you have Armie Hammer in your DMs talking like this, and then he gets to your house, and all he wants to do is missionary. You're like, no, I signed up for the AP course. Like, I wanted the advanced sexual course.
Yeah. Okay, question. This story's been floating around for a few days now. It's really making waves online. Does Armie need to say something? Like, could this potentially hurt his career?
You don't say something if you know that there are more out there.
Right.
So I think for him, he has learned from the past that when people, especially men, say, I deny that, I have never done that, someone else comes out and says those two magic words that we talked about for an entire year, and then you're stuck in a scandal and you can't get out of it. I think what he's doing right now, which is letting this whole thing play out, praying that Kim and Kanye have an outburst, and taking a step back, hoping this dies, is the smartest move for him 100%. And his career.
The camp is very much, like, there has been some very contentious phone calls between him and his team, I'm sure of it. I'm sure he's probably freaking out a little bit and feels a little bit stupid. And I think that they are waiting to see, like, let's just see how this plays out, because they don't know what move to make, because they probably are true. And I also, going back to the fact that, like, if they are true and somebody was uncomfortable with it, that person should have, you know, shut it down at that time. I mean, I know that obviously sometimes we find ourselves in uncomfortable positions and we don't know how to navigate them. So I understand that. But I just hate the idea of, like, someone's personal life being splashed out. It's just... You know, like, God, do we have anything for ourselves ever? Like, not that any of the messages are... You know, if someone said to me, I want to suck your blood, I'd be like, okay, well, nice chatting, but I don't think we're going to get any further.
Yeah, but that wasn't the worst of the worst.
To your point, Justin, clearly he felt comfortable enough to say those things.
Yeah.
Like, you don't just wake up and say, what did you have for breakfast? By the way, I've been thinking about this list of things that involve me eating your flesh.
Yes.
Like, you don't just
come through,
again,
Daddy.
Allegedly. Yeah, we're going to throw out allegedly one more time, and we are going to move on. I think it's time before we get ourselves in trouble.
Okay. I haven't even had breakfast. I can't.
Let's move on to ABC's The Bachelor. So this season's villain, Queen Victoria, did her thing, annoying the other ladies while going all out for Matt's attention. Watch this.
Oh, my God.
Queen Victoria is ready for her big day, and we are going to take it up a notch.
This is the royal wedding.
We can take this off.
Ta-da!
Oh.
Tell me when it's over.
I feel like Victoria putting the garter belt around her leg is kind of a reach for attention.
Oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
Oh my God, this is beautiful. Mm.
To me, that was such a passionate kiss and so fun. And now we have it on camera. And it was clearly the best. So it's time to shut it down.
I love how two people can walk away from the same situation and have totally different experiences. To me, Matt James did not look like he was into that at all. He was just like, I'm going to go with this because you're pulling on my neck. And I guess we're going to make, okay, here we go. But this is weird.
Oh, Jesus.
This is why I don't watch this show. Because what is she doing? These are never the girls that succeed in these kinds of shows. Like, just the desperation is so palpable. Like, all the other girls are, like, waiting their turn, like, seem like nice, lovely people. This is like, come on.
Dude, no. Guys, like, love this stuff, though. They do.
They
love to feel like this person is just obsessed and will do anything for me. It's like there's some sort of like eroticness to that, because you're like, you don't know where
there's some Armie Hammer to it. There's
a little Armie Hammer to it.
So you just never know. So they like to keep the crazies around. Plus, on top of that,
good TV.
good TV.
Good for you.
You gotta, you know, if you can tell all the producers are very excited about this queen, then you're excited too, because you're like, oh, will this make a good season? Well, then we'll at least keep her around for a while. Okay. It seems, though, things are happening off camera as well. So the owner of the Pennsylvania resort where the season is being filmed tells Page Six that a condom was found in a tree, and all sorts of hanky-panky has been going on around the entire resort. So how much hooking up do you think happens behind the scenes?
That is actually the real show. Like, The Bachelor is all fun and games, but The Bachelor crew would be the Showtime equivalent of this. We're talking about young people who work in production who are forced to quarantine at a hotel and only be around one another. And let me tell you something, and she can vouch for this. There is always that one guy on the crew that everybody kind of wants to schnup a little bit, and one girl on the crew. And it takes about 3 months of filming to figure out where and when it's gonna happen. But okay. I think now with the pandemic, I feel like everybody has put their whole shit on the shelves. And now they're letting it come out on this set. Show me that. I want to pay for that.
It's so weird to think that, like, all of that stuff's happening behind the scenes, like, aside from what we're already seeing. Like, that's a 24/7 involved process. And, like, that mentally probably puts you in a really effed up spot. Like, if you're sleeping with Matt James, like, secretly, and that's not making it a part of your storyline, and then you have to watch him do all this stuff with all these other people, like, that's a clusterfuck in your
head. Yeah.
In
totally.
Your head.
But I really think they're pretty strict about allowing The Bachelor to see the participants off camera. I mean, think about it. They want all that interaction, that juiciness. Like, they don't really want to miss
camera.
A moment. So it's pretty hardcore. So it may just be the crew.
I think it's the crew.
Or, you know, the staff that work there. Who knows?
I think it's the crew.
That's
but
the
throw
thing,
your
though.
Condom away. Gross.
But see, this whole story screams fake to me, because it just seems like,
I don't know, girl. You've never worked on a crew.
But she's trying to, like, I feel like, get attention for the season because it's at her resort. But it's like, it's just, we found a condom in a tree. Okay, you found a condom in a tree. It's a 3,000-acre lot. Anybody could have snuck on there and had sex in a tree and left. I don't know. It just seems weird.
Oh, I know what you were doing in Missouri.
What did she say? Okay, we have to go.
I know what you were doing in Missouri.
Coming up, is Prince Harry secretly rocking a ponytail? The star who just said he's spying on Harry. Then our Brian Austin Green and Shauna Burgess moving too fast. What she just did that might freak him out.
Oh, God. Can't wait.
Could happen to anybody.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
I just ran into Prince Harry. He lives about a mile from me. I finally saw him driving his car, and I may have a scoop. It looked to me, as a casual observer, that his hair had grown very long and was pulled back very tightly by what I can only assume was a ponytail.
I'm certain that isn't true. Do you know what I think's happened? I think you didn't see Prince Harry.
Oh, no, it was him, because I have to say I followed him to the house to see if the car went in.
By the way, you know Prince
Rob
Harry.
Lowe. Okay.
You know Prince Harry got home and was like, I think Rob Lowe just followed me home.
Yeah. He probably doesn't even know who that is.
Carissa's feisty in her Lolita outfit today.
She is shady today.
She's like Rob Lowe,
No, I mean, we know who Rob Lowe is. I don't know. I just get the impression, maybe I'm totally wrong, that Prince Harry is not the most, like, pop culture savvy. That's just my impression, even though Meghan Markle is. But
yes, she is, for sure.
First of all, what do y'all think? Would Harry sport a ponytail? And if he did, would you like it?
I don't see Meghan Markle letting Prince Harry do get a ponytail?
Yeah, I don't think
she would like that.
Are you crazy?
No, I think she would. Yes, I think she would like that. She'd be like, oh my gosh, you are even getting further and further from that royal look. You are now going to be my ponytail man. Oh my gosh, she's just going to like love that.
But she loves that he's royal. She just didn't like it when it was like too much and inconvenient for her.
I know. Do you know what I mean? I think this is just another little extra thing. If he let his hair go crazy, oh, Queen Elizabeth would be so mad, and Meghan Markle would probably just love that.
Oh, I think Queen Elizabeth is so, she's so like, I'm done with whatever's going on in Los Angeles. Like, I don't have time. This is why I've prevented marriages before.
I don't know. Maybe it's just the mood I'm in this morning. Yeah. I just have this feeling.
Feisty.
Okay, well, by now, we all know 3 of the 4 Sex and the City ladies are coming back for the revival on HBO Max. But what about the guys? Well, one fan asked Sarah Jessica Parker if Mr. Big will be returning to the new series, and SJP gave a coy wait and see. But let's not forget, a few years ago there was talk that Big would get killed off if they did a third movie. So do you think they'd really do that for the show, and would that be a good move?
No, I don't think I think it's traumatizing enough that Samantha's not going to be a part of it. First of all, it's also like, it's not called Sex and the City, and yet everyone has just called it that. So, and I feel like they knew that was going to happen. So you might as well have just kept the series original, said we're coming back for a certain amount of episodes. Like, stop pretending that we're going to call it just like that. Or what is it even supposed to be called now?
That's it.
Just
yeah.
The way it was, or something stupid.
And just like that, or
like, give
like
me
that.
A break. So that's number one. Number two, I think we've already had to deal with Samantha. They are not going to do that to their audience. I mean, this has been 25 plus years of iconic television and storylines. We have watched them break up, get back together, leave her at the altar, get married. They're not killing off Big. And if they did, and that's because once you do that, this is where you're really ending the legacy of the show. So I'm hoping that they're not just going to do this stuff for shock value, and they really keep it within, you know, the sort of nucleus of what they've created. Samantha being gone is all we can handle.
That's too much.
I think we've already seen every big storyline there kind of has been. I think we've seen the getting together, the marriage, the divorce, the leaving at the altar, the wanting to live separately. I think what we have not seen is Big and Carrie not together. And I think for her as an executive producer, I think she knows that women in their 40s do go through divorce. And there is a lot of talk about women 50s. Getting back on their feet. It's real life. And I think that she might leave Big. I don't know if he'll die. But I think she might be going through a divorce.
Right? One of them has to be single. So
he could leave her for another woman who's much younger. That's realistic.
100%. So I think it's going to happen.
I think Justin might be right, because Carrie is the most dynamic character. She is still the star of the show. And we care more about her probably than any of the other characters. And so
speak for yourself.
He's a big
Cynthia Nixon fan.
Love.
No, I'm a big. Yeah. I'm a big Cynthia fan. I'm a big Cynthia Nixon fan.
I actually really do love all the ladies. I just really hope, to wrap this up, that this is not a mistake. Because we let that second movie go. We let that be a pass.
Yeah,
so I really don't want this show to be like, why did you come back for that? Because that would really be upsetting.
All right, you guys, we're still ahead. Meghan McCain is breaking her silence on her drama with Joy Behar. Will this cause more tension? Plus, Dr. Oz is here. We are talking about which diets to do and which diets to ditch in the new year. We'll be back.
Ooh, hey, Mehmet.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I got back to a weight I was really happy with, and then the pandemic hit.
Darn pandemic.
So System 21 has been so great about getting me on a schedule, which is so important, but also helping me connect with people.
Before you start any new diet this year, you should consider the pros and cons of each. Here to help break them all down in our 2020 wonderful series is Dr. Oz. Let's start with the Whole 30, Dr. Oz. Tell us the pros and cons. So good to see you, by the way.
Happy New Year. I'll walk you through these, but I want to emphasize that the main goal of any of these programs is not weight loss. That comes along as a side benefit. The real goal is to make you feel better, sleep better, improve your skin, make you sharper, live your best life, which is fundamentally what you want. So the Whole 30 is this 30-day nutrition challenge. In case you don't know what it is, it's primarily an elimination diet that emphasizes whole, unprocessed foods. So they want you to eat real foods that you recognize, right? That comes out of the ground looking like it looks when you eat it. So meat and seafood and eggs are good, veggies and fruits, all the things your mom would tell you to eat. It's designed to, in a way that's sort of strict. My daughter just finished doing it. The good news is if your diet's high in alcohol, refined sugars, this is going to eliminate those. So you're going to lose some weight and feel pretty good. The con is if you've got a history of eating issues, you know, this is very restrictive. It doesn't allow you any kind of wiggle room. So if you slip up once, you're basically off the program. You got to start all over again. Mm.
Yikes.
Well, a lot of people have been trying to convince me to go on the ketogenic diet, and I want to do it, but I don't know if it's right for me. What are the pros and cons for this one?
So a keto diet's all about cutting carbs, and it makes you sort of miserable, and the B word applies to some people if they're on it too long. But it does work, right? On this diet, if only 5% of your calories are coming from carbs, you can, you know, still be okay. And 20% can come from proteins, but most of the calories are coming from fats, oils, unprocessed nuts, ideally butter. Some people, of course, say you can have lard. That's not the case. You're supposed to eat healthy fats. The pro is you're burning a lot of your fat because burning fats by eating more of them is a pretty enticing concept. In fact, that's what happens. Ketogenic people start to burn the fats on their hips and their thighs because they don't have any carbs to burn through. And of course, most people like eating fatty meats and fatty fish and fatty nuts and fatty cheese and fatty butter, right? And still lose weight. The con is it could have a negative impact on your overall health. And this is definitely not a plan you want to stay on for the rest of your life. And that's why I'm always a little concerned.
Maybe it's a good way to kickstart, but don't stay on it forever.
What's something that we can do long term?
Well, the reason we created System 21 is I do believe it's the best of all the technologies we have. It's intermittent fasting, which is something that I learned about from Hugh Jackman. And he learned about it from all the weight loss folks. And there's that little graphic you see there. That's the basic recipe plan. It's the Mediterranean diet. But here's the catch. You don't want to start eating too early in the morning. So you want to push your breakfast back towards 10. You want to move your dinner up to around 6 or 7. It's not as hard as it seems because if you go to sleep on an empty stomach, you'll sleep better. You'll sleep deeply. By the time you wake up, you haven't eaten in, let's say, 12 hours, which means you're already fasting. Uh-huh. And because you're intermittent fasting for 12 hours, your hormones say, there must not be any food around, so I'm going to turn off your hunger drive. So you actually don't wake up hungry. I don't know if you ever noticed this. You have a late dinner with lots of alcohol. You get up in the morning, you're hungry.
Yeah.
If you've
Yes.
So it's paradoxical.
That happens to me every day. See, every day.
What about the Mediterranean diet? What's special about that part?
Mediterranean diet is the most studied, best diet for longevity we know of. A lot of the blue zones where people live a long time are there. It's fun to stay on the diet. So you can actually be on it your whole life. It's healthy fish, oils like olive oil, nuts, all the tasty foods. You're allowed to have a little bit of fat, a little bit of carb, a little bit of protein because humans want all three.
Okay.
You can have some alcohol, a glass of wine, tequila, whatever you like in the evening. You get a cheat day because nothing's healthier than celebrating. So the Mediterranean diet's what a lot of the world does, and they enjoy it. So if you eat the Mediterranean diet, but you just limit the number of hours in the day that you eat, you can actually eat a lot of calories and not gain weight, which is, by the way, if you eat the same number of calories over a longer period of time, you'll gain weight. So the fact that it's squeezed a little bit really helps you.
Okay. Is this why I lose weight when I go to Mykonos?
There you have it. That of the party.
Yeah. You're just like only drinking, not eating.
I literally come back snatched.
Dr. Oz, thank you so much for joining us. We always love having you on for all your insight.
Bless you for all you're doing. Have a wonderful new year. Be hopeful this will be a much better year than last.
Oh my God. We are definitely open for that. You guys can watch the Dr. Oz show every weekend, where the System 21 plan will be featured through the month of January. Check your local listings for more details. Thanks, Dr. Oz. All right, up next, has Meghan McCain had enough of Joy Behar? Meghan discussed her future on The View. Then, do you repeat the same mistake in every relationship? Well, this celebrity is igniting a new debate. We'll discuss it next. Welcome back to Daily Pop, and it's time for, you guessed it, the Hollywood Minute. We've got 60 seconds of the hottest Hollywood headlines. Fire up that clock. Let's get into it. If you were wondering how Meghan McCain is feeling about her View co-host Joy Behar, well, wonder no more. Meghan was on Bravo's Watch What Happens Live last night, saying she and Joy need to be an example for the country on moving forward. She says neither are going anywhere, so they will just coexist. Okay. Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist bosses say Lauren Graham has an open invite to come back. Her character left in last week's season premiere, leaving Zoe in charge, as we see in tonight's episode.
The new Spark Point watch update is blowing up.
That's amazing. Congrats to you and the marketing team.
No, not in a good way.
My Spark Point watch, Model 3 edition, is burning my freaking wrist off.
Oh, boy. Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist airs on NBC. You can also watch other episodes on Peacock. Just scan that QR code right there to get the info on how to find Zoe on Peacock. Okay, got to be quick. Nicole Kidman and Javier Bardem are in talks to play Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz in a movie. I can see it in Javier. Nicole is Lucy. Morgan, what do you think?
Oh, God. I saw this last night. I think it's a good choice. I don't know. I have to see the transformation. I feel like Lucille Ball is such an iconic role to play. Like, those are some really big shoes to fill. And we love Nicole. We know she's talented, but, like, that's a hard one. So we'll see.
Mark my words, this is her next Oscar.
If she nails it.
Mark my words. This is not about the comedic side of Lucille Ball. This is going to be more about the darker side, about the life that no one knew she had and the things that she did and the things that she had to put up with. And I think for Lucille Ball and the people who run her estate, Nicole Kidman is one of the only actresses who can pull this off. I'm telling you, mark it right now. What's the date, Tom?
January 12th.
January something. 10 o'clock,
January
right?
Something. 8:30.
It's happening.
You're like, I don't know what time it is.
I don't know what day it is.
But mark my words. I think you're right. Nicole Kidman, I mean, we've always known she's a phenomenal actress, but over the last few roles she's had, she has proved that time and time again. So I really do think she can do anything. Comedy is difficult, and
it's
never
not
really
going to be comedy.
If it's going to be more about Lucy's life, then I think you're right.
They're not going to get Javier Bardem to play Ricky if it's going to be comedy.
By the way, No Country for Old Men. That's all I think of with him and that haircut. I can't move past it.
Okay, all right. Sharna Burgess just made her romance with Brian Austin Green Instagram official. Sharna shared a photo of them kissing with a simple caption, him. Now, we did notice that Sharna is still MIA on Brian's page. What do you guys think?
I want to be out of frame.
Sharna.
Do you like the Lori and Michael sharing this announcement at the exact same time better than just the girl sharing the announcement?
Sharna gonna be sitting with Jada Pinkett Smith in about two more weeks on that red table, honey, because this is gonna be something they're gonna need therapy to get over, okay?
I just think it's one of those things. Look, she's happy. She likes him. She's excited to post. But it's also just like, it is unfortunately one of those things where it's like, well, why hasn't he posted yet? Which is so, it doesn't mean because he hasn't posted that reflects his feelings for her. But I just think it's like.
It does.
It kind of does. Don't you think
celebrity couples, I mean, have that conversation like, hey, can I post
this? Yeah, I'm posting this, but like...
Should we post this? Is now the time? I mean, I'm going to post. Are you going to post? Is this a good photo? I mean, do you think she really posted that without like having a full-on conversation with him?
For sure she did, and I think she wanted it to because I think she loves him and she's happy, and I think he cares about her as well. For me personally, I would want him to claim it because there's all this stuff going on, by the way. If they were just like newly dating and she posted a photo and it was casual and there wasn't all this stuff with Megan Fox and all this stuff going on where we have felt maybe in the past that Brian has maybe sort of like gone after Megan for moving on, and if there wasn't that messiness there and she just posted it, fine. And it's not the end of the world. I just would want him to do it too. Like, he's not, he's not busy. He can post it.
You know,
he can post it.
I'm with you. I agree. I prefer whenever the couples do it together, like Michael and Lori did. It just seemed like this is our announcement. We're on the same page. We're a team. We are going to do this together. We're making this announcement. We're ready for it.
But that's the problem. That is the problem. And I sometimes feel like, and I went through this, so I can say for some of us ladies out there, hence me, when you get in a relationship with a guy who's not over his ex, and you know that, he has said that countless times on podcasts, he has said it in interviews that he's still holding a light for her, there is some unfinished business there. And I think for her, she was like, I'm gonna post this. And he was like, yeah, go for it. When that man decided not to post that as well, that should be immediately your signal that you are dealing with the time bomb and you should get out of the room.
Aww.
I'm sorry.
I don't know if we're going too left.
I was with somebody who let me know in his actions that he was not over his ex. Brian Austin Green didn't even send a hint. He said it in an interview.
I cannot wait till they're on the show next week and we're like, how's everything going? We're so happy for you.
So happy. Okay. After the break, Tiger Woods his ex-mistress, Rachel Yucatel, is going to be joining us live. She is speaking out on the scandal and how her life has changed because of it. And has Tiger ever apologized? We're going to ask her. Don't go anywhere.
Being Tiger Woods had taken its toll. He said to me, I think I'm going to give up golf and I'm going to get in the Navy SEALs.
That adrenaline rush, it becomes like a drug. And you're looking for that next hit.
For the squeakiest celebrity on earth, that spelled trouble.
Here he was in my bed, and he was my Tiger.
Wow, that's a look at the documentary Tiger Part 1 premiered Sunday on HBO. And Rachel Yucatel is here to join us live on Skype to tell us everything. Welcome. First of all, I want to just know, what made you want to be part of this documentary? Why did you decide, yes, I want to tell my story?
I think that for so long, people have just gotten so low with me. I have spent 10 years not speaking and just let people, you know, call me so many names. And I've really lived a discount version of my life. And I think that so many people can really identify with that in their own lives and feeling like they cannot get out of the first act of their life. And they really want to move on to the second act. And you've been like shackled by that. And I just felt like, you know what? I'm going to tell my story. I want to do it with somebody credible and I want to do it with people I trust. I'm going to do it once. And I want to be able to get it off my chest. And if people still don't like me, they don't like me. But, you know, it's a really hard thing for people to have such hatred of me that don't know me and that I've never done any personal harm to. And that's a really hard thing to go through life, seeing the hatred that people have of me. So I just really wanted to tell my story.
Let me ask you a question, because I know, you know, throughout the years, people saw you as still being loyal to Tiger. Did you not tell your story out of respect for him? And were you still in love with him?
I want to really answer your question. People will just have to watch the documentary as it unfolds. The next episode comes out next Sunday, and you can watch. Sorry.
You go there.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about how the relationship began? And you know, it was public knowledge that he was married. So where did the relationship start? What did he make you believe that he was going to be leaving his wife?
So again, I talked all about everything that I was ever going to talk about once with Matt and Matt, who directed the film. I shared my story once in the documentary, and I just don't want to talk about it again. It was hardly the most interesting thing that ever happened to me. And I don't want to be,
for sure.
And I just, you know, I don't mean to be disrespectful in not answering your questions at all. I hope you understand that. But I just felt like I don't want to be scandalous about this. I don't want this to be about anything where I feel like I'm coming out and I'm talking about this all over the place, because that's actually not what I want this to be, right? I just wanted to tell the story once on HBO. People can listen to it if they want to. And then what I want people to know about the story and me is that, listen, the media really chose to blame other people for, one scenario of what happened, and then really take someone that they spent so much time building up, and then they took so much time really covering the fall and really making a big deal out of somebody's pain and personal mistakes. And that was a really difficult time for everybody. And to watch how the media really did that was a really horrible thing. And I think that really comes out in the documentary. And I hope you watch that, because that's a huge, huge lesson about what the media does about a private situation, even though it's about somebody public.
Well, let me ask you this question, because I feel like sometimes the world villainizes women when something happens with a man. And, you know, it's really hard to kind of sort of explain what's happening to you, because you are a private citizen. Was there one person in your life who you were like, oh, I just don't want them to see this, and I don't know how to explain this to them?
Well, of course. I mean, you know, I think that everyone can say that they know someone that this has happened to, right? Whether it's a person in their community or themselves or whatever, right? And whether it's just about a rumor or an affair or whatever, you get wrapped up in something that you feel like you don't want anyone to know about a situation, and then it happens, or it's a mistake. And there's things that happen, and then there's reality. And then the perception of what happened becomes what people think of you. And then that story is what people go with, and you can never get out of that black cloud. And forget the public perception, but it's the perception of the people around you that just changes who you are. And that's happened to me, and that's been my life story. And I cannot get away from that. I've always been Rachel Yucatel, Tiger Woods mistress, and I've never been able to get out of that. And that's been the tragedy of my life, honestly. And that's really why I spoke. It's heartbreaking for me, because I have a kid, I have people around me, you know, that won't let me get away from that.
Oh, Rachel, I mean, I think it was really brave of you to share your story in the documentary. I think that it's really good for America to see the other side of a story and not just go off the media and what they think they know, because nobody ever knows the full story until you hear both sides. So thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah.
And Tiger concludes this Sunday. You can watch on HBO and HBO Max. Thanks Rachel.
Thanks.
All right, coming up, celebs rocking the black and white fashion trend. Do we love it or hate it? And how well do you know your famous redheads? We're celebrating National Kiss a Ginger Day with a wild game. And trust me, you don't want to lose.
Okay.
What are you
going to
make
us
do now, guys? Come on. Hey, Jello. Today is National Kiss a Ginger Day, so pucker up, because we are going to play a game called Read My Mind. Justin and I both have four masks in front of us. We don't know who they are. They're just famous redheaded celebrities. So we're going to hold them up in front of our faces and try to guess who it is while the other person gives us clues.
Uh-huh.
Now, we each have 30 seconds to try and guess all four. Loser drinks a shot of Fireball mixed with lemon, ginger, and cayenne.
Yes.
Okay. Ready to start?
Yes.
Okay. So, Justin, grab your mask, and I'll try to get you to guess. Oh, she's in the American Pie. American
Allison Hannigan.
Yes.
I think it goes this way. I got 30 seconds.
Oh, just kidding. She's in Wedding with Vince Vaughn. She's like,
Isla
Fisher. I will find you. Yeah. He is has some DMs going on right now.
Armie Hammer? He's not a ginger.
Just kidding, that's not him.
Can you give me somebody who knows somebody? Give me.
Sorry. That's it. Okay.
Yes, sorry. I'm going to give you the same energy. She's a woman who,
Emma Stone.
She was in American Hustle. By the way, I can give you the best clues. She's an American Hustle. She was also in, she's redhead. Her president, there's a president named after her. Okay. She went to jail a few times. She stopped cheating. She went to jail a few times.
Lindsay Lohan.
Yes. He was in Harry Potter.
Okay, Justin, you win. I'll take a shot for you.
Oh my God, the fact that you tried to give me clues and thought it was Armie Hammer, he's not even a ginger.
I know, I was very confused by the picture. Okay, let's get next. Ashley Benson, Lily Collins, and Salma Hayek. That actually wasn't that bad. I taste like one of those wellness shots.
You can do it.
It's pretty good. They're all caught in netted clothing. Try it or trash it. Hollywood's top trends are next. Where is Emma Stone?
Armie Hammer. You thought this was Armie Hammer?
I didn't know.
Who are you? I'm like sitting there.
Are you okay?
Whew. Yeah, I'm fine.
When it first started, Lizzie always talked about how she didn't really fit into a certain group at school. And I think that's really why so many people related to the show. Throughout the 65 episodes, especially in the second season, I think she started to find herself a little more, even though she was still a little insecure. And then in the movie, she just totally blossomed like a flower. You know, she like finds out who she is.
Hey now, this is what dreams are made.
I get to have a lot of say in what I wear on the show, like my clothes and stuff, and I'm totally into that kind of stuff. So in that way, we're like,
Lizzie, those pants are sweet.
She goes to school and kind of leads a regular life, and I don't really, even though, like, I feel like I lead a regular life, you know? But we're not too much alike, but we're not too different either.
No one was
bigger. Wow, 20 years. That's crazy.
I can't.
Hillary Duff was that bitch.
Yeah.
Back in the cut.
Yes, you were.
Like, there was no one else bigger than Lizzie McGuire.
That's right. Well, Hannah Montana, what do you think? Who was bigger?
Well, that was, you know, no. That Hillary
was later.
Opened the door.
Yeah.
True. Lizzie walked.
Lizzie was the
OG. Hannah could walk through.
But looking back now, who wins?
Lizzie McGuire.
Hannah
Lizzie
Montana. McGuire.
No. That wasn't even our generation.
Yeah, girl. Clarissa wins.
Yeah.
Let her explain that all to you.
Yeah.
I hated that show just for the mere fact that I got the joke everywhere I went. Clarissa explains it all. Okay.
But you kind of sort of do now.
It just kind of fits. Okay, let's keep on point with some Tuesday trends. Fashion experts are predicting that monochromatic black and white is going to be the look that is going to be big this year. Ashley Benson, uh-huh. Priyanka Chopra, Taraji P. Henson already have rocked the look. Ooh, I love that.
But where are they going? Like, where is this trend going to happen? In the kitchen?
Can I tell you? I agree. I honestly think like shopping is something that you did in the pandemic to be like normal if you could. Like you tried to be like, oh, this is cute. I'll wear this nowhere. I've completely stopped. But I do think black and white is a forever trend and it just comes in and out every few years.
You know, is your shirt black and white right now?
And my bra is out, apparently. It is blue and white. It is blue and white.
It's blue. Okay.
But
I would try it.
I would try it. Of course. Black and white's timeless. Okay, Ashley Benson is also in our next look. Netted clothing. Mm. Lily Collins, Salma Hayek, all seen in different versions of this.
Mm-mm, trash it. It always looks cheap. I'm sorry. I don't care who makes it. It just never looks, unless it's over a bathing suit and it's, I just don't like it. It's
like
not
you're
for
going
me.
To, yeah, you're going to
not
the beach.
Me.
You better be in Dominican Republic wearing that.
Yeah.
And you better be with a man in a G-string. Like, that's all that is. Are you going to the VMAs? Those are the only two times that you can wear that. So I'm going to go ahead with trash it.
I agree with you.
I'm in the same boat with you guys. Okay, Vogue is calling this next trend the living room disco. It basically means sequence. Jesse James Decker, Jennifer Lopez, Kylie Jenner have all dazzled in this.
I think try it.
Listen, right? That was for like Christmas, I think, wasn't it? And then I know that Jesse's was for New Year's Eve. I mean, I think it's try it for the right occasion. Mm. I mean, it's got to be a holiday. It's got to be a big event.
I don't know.
It's got to be done right.
I sometimes get dressed just to go to my courtyard and like have a cocktail with my neighbor who like I see from time to time.
Nice.
So I think it's nice to put on clothes every now and then.
But would you do
Yeah, but not a sequin suit.
Yeah, somebody like if a bird was coming through or something, if I was going to see
someone.
They
are coming through. Yeah.
All right. Well, tomorrow we'll talk with Jesse James Decker. She's going to be sharing some diet secrets to keep you looking good in the new year. And you also may be surprised to find out this year's hottest plastic surgery trend. See you tomorrow. Bye.
That lip lift, girl.
Can't wait.